He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to this week's version of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. It is 2026. There's a lot going on in the car industries. We'll cover some of those. But one of the things I would like to start out with is the pleasure of knowing that there are still some affordable new cars that you can buy. We have covered this in a previous show, but I want to revisit it since I have revisited the list. And these are new cars that can be purchased for, in some cases, quite far under $30,000. So there are seven of them. The list, I will go down the list, and Jay and I will comment on any that we want to comment on. The list consists of a 2025, I don't know whether the 2026 will be equally inexpensive, Kia K4, and it happens to have a turbo engine. That is a subscript to that. A 2026 Nissan Sentra, a 2026 Toyota Corolla Hybrid, 2026 Mazda 3 Hatchback, a 2026 Honda Civic Sport Sedan Hatchback, 2026 Toyota Prius, and the last one on the list is 2027 Chevrolet Bolt EV, which may have not yet reached dealers. They are an interesting list, in my opinion. I think the one, when I read brief things about each one of the list, the 2025 Kia 4, interesting point, which I've already mentioned, was that it has a turbo 4 engine. A turbo engine at this level should provide some sporting driving characteristics to any vehicle of this size under $30,000. I'm not sure there are, well, a sporting aspect of another one is the Toyota Corolla Hybrid, because the hybrid drivetrain also provides a sporting driving capability, as I have found in my 2013 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid, which I have had since I purchased it way back then. But these are interesting cars. They're all Asian, basically, except for the 2000 Chevrolet Bolt, the 27 Chevrolet Bolt, which is American. They're all produced by the manufacturers who are producing excellent vehicles throughout their lineup, in my opinion. But to be able to buy these particular models at under $30,000, the Nissan comes in, I think, as a record low under that in the 25,000-plus range model as well. Jay, have you driven any of these recently? I have not.
No, Happy New Year to everybody. I'm going to curb your enthusiasm already, although one of my resolutions is to have a very positive attitude on things.
Well,
this coming this year,
curbing
but I don't think we're going to see very many of these cars in our area for different reasons. But I think it's a good list. These are great cars, and as I travel southward as we speak, you see more of some of these cars. I think what you're likely to see in our area, in our tri-state area, is certainly the Toyota Prius, but probably not the basic versions right around $30,000, but the all-wheel drive versions, which is a pretty interesting thing. The new Prius that came out last year or the year before, that looks like a good-looking car nowadays, unlike the previous models, in my opinion. The current Prius comes with a four-wheel drive powertrain.
That's true.
But I'm sure it's not. I don't know. I have not seen the list and the pricing, but I'm sure it's not quite at $30,000. But it's still a pretty good deal.
It's right under $30,000. I'm looking at it now. So that is a good deal. Continue.
All-wheel drive under $30,000?
Yes.
Okay. That is a great deal. Not a very big car. It is a sedan. We don't see a lot of sedans. But if you're looking for a commuter car, it's absolutely a great way to go. You know, I've always been a big fan of the Chevy Bolt. You could get the first versions of them for under $20,000 back not so long ago. So I can't actually wait to see the new 2027 Chevy Bolt, and I think it's going to be an interesting proposition. It is, in your list, I think the only, as I'm going through it very quickly, it is the only full electric car of the bunch. Sentras, Corollas, Honda Civics, we don't see a lot of, but they are great commuter cars. If you're driving alone in a car and drive an hour to work and an hour back every day, they are perfectly fine cars and way better cars than compact cars were 20 or 30 years ago. So,
okay,
yeah.
I agree with you. I actually had occasion to rent a Nissan Sentra 3 years ago, so it's a 3 years older model of what we're talking about on this show today. And I will tell you, it was indeed a pleasurable car to drive over many miles of a five-day rental in this vehicle. The mileage was superb for, in that day, 3 years ago, in the high 30s. I think I even was able to manage a 40-plus mile-per-hour car, and the Nissan Sentra was not a hybrid. It was simply a four-cylinder.
You mean 40 miles per gallon? I'm sure you reached 40 miles per hour.
No, 40 miles per gallon, correct. Sorry, listeners. The other car that is also apparently available in this list for just under $30,000 is a model version of the 26 Toyota Corolla Hybrid. So that can be done in all-wheel drive. And I know some people who have had the Corolla Hybrids previous month to the 2026 year, and they have been absolutely also thrilled with its mileage rating, which has been the one. The two owners that I know had them were well into the mid 40 mile per gallon range.
Well,
so,
you know, all those subcompact cars have, you know, and you always complain about this, but they've grown to the point that they're actually quite comfortable.
In the rear seat.
Smaller cars, but I've ridden in the back seat of a Corolla in an Uber, and it was a perfectly adequate back seat and comfortable ride. So these are not bad little cars, even though they're smaller than the big, clunkers that we see in, on the road.
Around our area.
Yeah. By the way, Robin, I thought about you yesterday as I was making my 750-mile drive down to South Carolina. I remember, I don't know if it was a rental you had or a replacement car a few years ago, that little teeny bit Mitsubishi, I forget the name of it, with the little tricycle wheels.
Yeah.
Well, I passed one on the highway yesterday, and boy, I that small and that compact on the highway, I do not recommend.
I would agree with you. The Smart 4.2 would be another car I wouldn't recommend to be on the interstate highways, and it's got four wheels. But you look at these micro minis driving on the big high-speed highways that we have in our country, and I would not want to be putting along. Maybe they may go 70, but I would not like to be putting along in one of those in our highways that very often have the tractor-trailer trucks careening along those roads, multi-lane highways or even single-lane each-way highways, as 95 is in many cases, right?
20 years ago, I did the trek from Florida back to Connecticut in my 1992, at the time, Mazda Miata, and it was a scary experience. Up 95 with all the trucks and all the traffic in a Miata was a little intimidating, to say the least.
Right. So small is not always great in terms of size of the car, but I don't think any of these cars in the list are so small as to have that same effect that you mentioned.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. They're simply adequate cars. They all probably get mileages in the 30s to 40s range per tank full. 10-gallon tanks or 12-gallon tanks, which many of them may come with, will get you easily over 300 miles per fill, no matter what which one of these cars. And so in some cases, you'll get 400 or 500 miles, possibly, with them.
So let me add a car to the list here,
okay.
Which is not a sub-$30,000 car, but it's a sub-$40,000 car.
Okay.
Almost 10 years ago now, when the Model 3 Tesla was about to come out, Elon Musk was touting that $35,000 price target that was never met, right?
Right, correct. And they still talk about it coming, but it's never going to make it unless it's...
However, never say never. You know, fast forward 10 years, and you now can get a... I call it a generic product, Tesla Y, the basic Tesla Y, two-wheel drive with the basic motor, but you still get 310 or 320 mile range. You can get that car for $39,000, which is, you know, just under $40,000, and on a 0% lease quote-unquote qualified buyers, but there's a number on the qualified metric, and I think you need a credit score of something around 720, which, you know, is not unattainable, and you can get a 5-year 0% or 6-year 0% lease on a Tesla Y base model. So basically, you're paying finance. I believe, loan. So you're looking at $500 a month for 6 years with, I think, $3,000 down. That's it. And I'm glad it's debadged. There's not a logo on the car. There's not the spelling of a name. But you have one of the best electric cars, granted in two-wheel drive, basic form, for under $40,000.
That's a brand new, correct?
Brand new.
Well, that's a very good buy for that model Tesla. I assume that even with the basic battery, it's going to get over 300 miles per kilowatt, whatever it is, capacity of the battery.
Yeah.
That's good. So there are indeed, you know, we've been talking in previous shows how the average price of the new car sold in the United States has reached the mid-40s. Is that correct?
It's going up.
And so this is refreshing to see this list of under $30,000 cars, and even now we're talking under $40,000 cars that are available, and there are many more under $40,000 cars, upgrades of the models that we previously mentioned in the sub-$30,000 range, and other additional models of vehicles, including some of the U.S. brands and that kind of thing. So it's the ability to buy a decently built, which we say all of them are now, fun-to-drive vehicle is readily available, I would have to say, under $40,000. So, listeners, you can go hunting and see if any of our listed cars are of interest to you as we move through 2026.
So, as we go through, just this morning, I typed into Google and looking for an AI answer to the question, what is the outlook for the automobile industry in 2026?
And what did AI tell you?
Well, AI tells me, you know, it's a compilation, of course, and a pretty good summary of bullet points of what to expect.
Okay.
But,
pull it up.
Basically, the market is going to be kind of stable or slightly down. We're going to look at about 2.5% less new cars being sold, being under the 16 million number of cars sold. So we're definitely not in record year territory. But one of the comments that I read and that I read again in Cox Automotive is that there is a widening difference between the high end and the high price cars and the lower price cars. So you just talked about the, you know, lower price cars, and Yeah, there are still a dozen of them you can find, but there are more and more very, very, very expensive cars. And there are a lot of mainstream cars that are now hovering, you know, in the $75,000 to $100,000 range, which is, you know, a bit crazy. And basically, the word that that politicians are using a lot these days, affordability, was mentioned in more than one article. So it's going to be an interesting year. One of the analysts was commenting on the fact that the whole disruptive you know, measures that have been taken on a political level have allowed some manufacturers to do pretty well and others to kind of struggle. And it's, you know, there's still all these manufacturers are still in a state of wait and see and trying to react to, you know, changing political decisions. You know, we're talking tariffs, EV tax cuts and things like that. I think there's not going to be huge changes, but, you know, we can see emerging manufacturers, and we've mentioned BYD time and time over again, which has now surpassed Tesla as the number one world seller of EV electric vehicles. Yeah, and keep in mind that, you know, BYD also sells a bunch of gas-powered and hybrid cars, too. So I think their total worldwide sales total around 2 million cars. Their electric cars, total sales are around 2 million, but their overall sales are around 4 million cars.
For our listeners and our audience in the U.S., we are not going to see I don't think we're going to see BYD vehicles for sale anytime soon, unless you have some knowledge different to that. So let's continue the 2026 car situation. Along with our less expensive car list that we have just mentioned, I think manufacturers are trying to figure out a way to bring out less expensive versions of the more expensive cars that they have been building, which may be a deletion of some of the standard equipment that the more expensively priced versions of the cars currently seem to exist on most dealers' lots. The other challenge is to find the less expensive versions of the cars even available at dealers' lots, because dealers have not normally tended to stock their parking lots with less expensive vehicles because the profit potential isn't as great. But I think the dealers need to put pressure on the manufacturers to bring in less expensive versions of the larger vehicles that they're producing to try to keep vehicle prices affordable, even if they are in higher price range model versions that we talked about
earlier. Let me interrupt you here. Since when do dealers try to sell you less expensive vehicles?
They don't. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to be stable in your insistence that you aren't interested in looking at the more expensive versions. If you've got a pocketbook that says, I've got to buy a vehicle under $30,000 or under $40,000, or as you go up the scale. But let's look at the VW Buzz, because you give me an opportunity to bring that up, as you have brought up in a suggestion of the list.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Has suspended production of the Buzz. Those VW listeners who know all about the Buzz, they've sold less than 5,000 Buzzes in the 2025 model year or 4 model year. I don't know which it came out in. And they've got apparently 2,000 on dealer lots, which is a 200-day supply. Now, the biggest problem with the Buzz was, in my opinion, because I went and looked at them, was the pricing of them. They just were out of my interest in ever thinking about buying an all-electric Buzz. The first edition was at $75,000, I believe, in that area. The one I test drove was in the 60s, and as much as I sort of was intrigued by the vehicle, I had no interest in purchasing it. And I'm afraid VW, you know, has gone up into the pricing structure of what I would say are more luxury types of vehicles that have prices in the $60,000, $70,000 range, with a vehicle that was once known as a very econo-box type of vehicle to own, and as well as being very much built with a flexibility of interior use in mind, which I saw to be less so available in the new line of buzzes that came out, 2 years ago.
So, to your point, I hate to say I told you so, because I didn't, might not have told you so, but I kind of knew from the beginning this was going to be a tough sell. And to be honest, you don't see any microbuses, any buzzes in Europe either. Not in our area, but not in Europe either. When it came out in Europe a few months before it came out here, I went in a dealership and looked at one there, and it was priced at around 80,000 euros. And I thought, these people are on crack. This is never going to sell. And and you're right. I mean, people reacted exactly like you reacted. You know, people loved the idea, loved the concept, but it was way overpriced. It is way overpriced. It is still only a VW ID4 SUV, and that's an okay electric vehicle, but it doesn't get near the range that people are looking for. So it's got a lot going against it. And let me make a
prediction.
The microbus, the buzz, is dead for 2026, and it will never come back in the U.S.
Well, you know, VW is objecting to that, as you note in the article or in the news. They claim it's going to come back, but I do not know how they're going to make it less affordable, less costly, given what has it, given how it's come to the market in the first place.
It's not coming back.
Okay. Well, we'll watch. Our listeners and VW fans can sit there and wait for that situation. In which case,
I'm a VW fan. I am a VW fan.
I have a 2,000 euro van. Listeners of this show for a long time have heard me mention it. It is a fabulous box, and it has an interior with such flexibility because I bought a version that is not yet known to be available in the buzz, called a MV, which had rear-facing second-row seats, a table for folding out from the side that you could sit in the seats and the bench seat facing forward and the two rear seats facing back and have lunch, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that would be my level of interest in buying a Buzz if Buzz came out with the flexibility of the original versions of the Eurovans that came out way beyond the air-cooled engines of last century, because it has front-wheel drive, it has a V6 engine in it, it has good traction in the winter, and it has range with a 22 or 4 gallon gas tank that at 20 miles a gallon, which is not great by mileage standards today, was a 400 mile range before you had to worry about refilling the tank. And it was $30,000 back then. So be it, right?
So be it.
Next on your list, bring up some other things you had.
Well, I started out 2026, you know, just a few days ago, with, like I said, trying to be very positive about things. And then I drove, you know, I spent 750 miles, 12 hours of my day yesterday on I-95. And that, of course, puts a damper on my positivity.
Because it is, what were you driving?
I was driving a 10-year-old Lexus SUV, you know, mid-2015. The years we like vehicles where, all, you know, things are somewhat still analog. There's no CarPlay. There's no iPad in the middle of the dashboard.
You didn't miss
like
it.
In all the modern cars. But also, you have to look under the steering wheel to find, you know, where to, you know, to reset the odometer and to open the fuel tank and things like that. Toyota is not always very good at a lot of these little buttons. Seem to be an afterthought. But anyway, no point in ranting over a 10-year-old car. But my point is, you know, and it confirms what you read in articles. New Jersey and the New Jersey Turnpike is still probably one of the worst places, worst roads to be on in the country. People are just, it is the one place where people are driving erratically. You have people who are driving slowly. People are all over the three or four lanes. That's always the case. But then you have people weaving in traffic left and right. It's not a good place to be. I also made the miscalculation. I thought that yesterday was a Sunday. I thought the tail end of the holiday, the last day, would be kind of a quiet day on the road, so that everybody would be going home on Saturdays. That was a big mistake. There was very heavy traffic, and I actually never went through D.C. I was Google Maps guided me around D.C., basically from Baltimore to Richmond on 301, which is like a four-lane highway that goes through a bunch of suburban towns on the east side of D.C. So you have a lot of traffic lights, but it was easy flowing, and there, you know, places to stop because it's a suburban area, so you had box stores and all the fuel stops and eating places you can think of. So it was kind of an interesting way to go down I-95. My hope was that people would learn to drive better, but that's not happening.
So for 2026, the driving is not going to improve?
No. I was reflecting. I think it takes 20 years to change drivers' habits.
I'm not sure you can change them at all.
Well, it takes, I've seen that in Europe with the implementation of automated radar traps and speed cameras. And over a generation, people have adapted their driving to new conditions. And this is not happening here. And I'm the first guilty one. I mean, if you're driving at night in North Carolina and traffic is starting to ease and you have 2-3 lanes of highway, and it's pitch black, you can cover a lot of ground very fast and safely, you know, safely, not gathering any attention from any unwanted attention, and also traffic lightens up and therefore, you know, it's just overall pretty safe. But yeah, it's always a good time to reflect on things and car things.
I am reading in the Motor Trend magazine an ad for Snapdragon driving. Do you know anything about that? It's AI-assisted driving. That's apparently technology that might creep its way into self-driving vehicles. What's the most advanced self-driving vehicle that you have driven thus far, as far as allowing a car to drive itself without too much attention to it?
So I have not recently, and you know, and I've said it before, I as much as I am a fan of automated driving, because I think automated driving will be better than 97% of the people driving their own cars, like 97% of the people, I think I'm part of the 3% who drive better than automated driving tools. And I just first of all, I like to drive, I pay attention to how I drive.
Correct.
I like to adapt my driving to everything around me.
Correct.
I don't do cruise control. I think automated driving is the greatest when you are in slow traffic, moving bumper to bumper. If in and around New York City, let's say you're on the Hutch or you're on, any one of the parkways during commuter times, and you're moving at 20, 30 miles an hour, then I'm all for automated driving, and I will use it. But to answer your question, I have not driven any very late, sophisticated auto driving cars.
To the cruise control comment, which I am almost exactly opposite you in my preference and my capability and desire to use cruise control, which I do at every time I can. The only cruise control system that is probably the safest one is the one I like the least, which is because if I'm not paying attention, and this goes against what I claim I'm doing all the time, I suddenly find myself cruising along proper distance between the car ahead and me, but in cases it may be as much as 5 miles an hour below even a posted speed limit, because the automatic cruise controls measure the distance between you and the car ahead, and if the car ahead slows down, it slows your car down automatically, and you can sit there and be thinking about something other than driving, and suddenly realize you've been going along in a string of cars at 55 miles an hour when you could be perfectly doing it without cruise control on, driving at 65 or 70, as you probably are doing all the time. So we may carry this further. Until next time, it is Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach, and happy 2026 to all our listeners.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.